Welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha, a podcast for and about women of color in STEM. These women are brave, beautiful, and brilliant. Their stories deserve and need to be heard. Their voice strong, their message clear, their experiences priceless. Now let's welcome this wonderful winning woman of color to the show.
Hi, and welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha. And once again, we are back with another stellar guest. I'm really excited about having this woman on the show. I can't even tell you how much I admire her, and she has done phenomenal work in the STEM space. So we have Ms. Lisa May Brunson on, and thank you for agreeing.
Thank you, Dr. Natasha. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Anytime. I mean, anytime. So as we do with every single guest, we start every show with tell us your STEM story.
Yeah. So, you know, my STEM story started in Las Cruces, New Mexico, where I was born and raised. I am a small town girl with global dreams. And I grew up where you can actually see the skies and see the stars, and which is such a contrast to where I live now in the LA area, where the lights black, you know, you don't see the skies at all. But in New Mexico, you could see the skies, you could see the stars. And I was a young girl who used to love just looking at the stars and dreaming about the universe and dreaming about different planets and wanting to be an astronaut. So, you know, my first love for all things STEM came from, you know, just looking at our stars and imagining, you know, what it'd be like to be in space. And so, you know, growing up, I am the oldest of five, and, you know, we were poor. We didn't grow up with much. And so I didn't have a lot of opportunities to explore my passions in STEM. Mm-hmm. So going to school, I didn't get, you know, extra attention on, you know, developing my love for sciences. I loved biology. I was the only girl who would like cut, you know, open the, you know, the pig that we had to dissect in biology class. I was the only one that wasn't squeamish, you know, around dissecting the frog and looking at, you know, petting snakes and holding spiders in my hand. I still love that stuff to this day. And so I really just loved all things science and innovation and invention. I was so into inventions and how to invent things. The only thing I didn't love was math, but that's that's a whole other story. I did not like math, but I did just love, you know, learning about science and then later technology. So that was sort of like the foundation that I had as a young girl. But, you know, again, being someone that didn't have resources, I grew up in a multiracial family where my mother is Spanish and she's indigenous. My father is African-American. And we were considered, you know, not good enough. And I mean, I even had teachers make fun of me and, or treat me. I had kids make fun of me and teachers not support me. Mm-hmm. So I sort of like withdrew and didn't get to foster those, initial interests. Mm-hmm. So I kind of bottled those up and went through school, kind of just going through, you know, the basics.
Right.
And so I've always wanted to change the world, and I was fascinated with wanting to see an equitable world. You know, people should be treated fairly. We should be respected. You know, and it came from my own experiences as a child being bullied. And so I first went to school to study psychology because I figured that's the best way for me to, you know, make my mark on the world. But I really was just so super passionate about science and then technology and feeling like that is really where you can make the most impact. I was so fascinated by, you know, looking at, you know, engineers and seeing how they're, you know, coding and building sites and doing all of these things. And I felt really frustrated because I didn't get a chance to have that access. I didn't get an opportunity to be educated in those spaces. For me, it was just a no. It wasn't something that I would do. And so as I grew older, and I ended up, you know, working in a psychiatrist's office, running a psychiatrist's office for 7 years, being immersed in that field. And I realized, nope, this is not what I want to do. I had such a strong calling in me, you know, just being incredibly what I call visionary. Like I just always had ideas. I had big ideas, big visions, a big love for humanity. And I wanted to be able to marry all of that together into something that I could feel like I was doing, you know, my life purpose. So I, you know, ended up leaving the psychiatry practice when the last boss I would ever have, Dr. Brower, ended up getting Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the most difficult times of my life because I watched somebody that I loved and admired and who was with me through my formative adult years literally pass in front of my eyes. And it was with that knowledge that life was too short and I needed to like go after my dreams and do anything I could to really foster my initial love to go out and do what I wanted to do. So that kicked off a variety of initiatives, my social innovation campaigns, and through all of that, I built an internet TV network called Equality TV. So it was serving the same demographics that I'm serving now, underrepresented groups in media, wanting to see an increase of people of color in media. And then from there, I was introduced to the technology space, the hackathon space. And so I built a hackathon called Hacks for Humanity for Arizona State University, who had been supporting my Equality TV initiatives. And it was through that I learned how amazing, you know, fostering young minds and people of color and women in tech would be towards, you know, really creating an impact in the world by getting these demographics access and opportunity to education, and building, you know, apps for social good. I felt like this was exactly where I needed to be. So, you know, long story short, Wonder Woman Tech was born through all of those initiatives of me, like just digging in, getting involved with tech communities, women in tech communities, and realizing that we needed a platform that would, you know, highlight, celebrate, and educate women and BIPOC and LGBTQ and underrepresented, you know, deaf and disabled, you know, individuals and communities that are not normally provided a seat at the table in these industries. And so it was just a natural progression for me to build Wonder Woman Tech into a global platform and to become what it is today. And I'm so honored, you know, to be able to lead a vision, to live in a space where I get to play with scientists and talk with technologists and engineers and, you know, scientists and astronauts even. So it's like all come full circle you know, where that little girl who is dreaming about being in the stars is talking to, you know, Dr. Ellen Ochoa, who is the first Hispanic woman in space, and hanging out with her and learning from her what it's like to be in space. So I feel like it's a charmed life, and it all has culminated into a beautiful STEM fairy tale.
I agree. I mean, that story is amazing. It's, and I say that not, you know, from a, oh my God, you know, I'm fangirling. I am fangirling, just so you know, but, but from the standpoint of, you know, how sometimes we can, life is full circle. That's what I mean to say, you know, so it, and it, it, and I say it's full circle because it sometimes doesn't come back to us the way we think it is, but it comes back to us. So that love you had for science and technology manifested itself through, you know, the television, your television stations, the hackathons, and then now Wonder Woman Tech. And so you are responsible for the bringing together of women in well, almost everyone in this, you know, in a space where it's safe. People, you know, people are encouraged to tell their stories, to give advice, to be a part of the community at large, to help others. And so I think that is so sweet. You know, it's just sweet.
Well, I mean, I think it's important too, you know, I grew up being sweet. my mom says, you know, I just love the world. I have a love for humanity. And, you know, I launched a hugs campaign and I've hugged like 13,000 people so far. And I think underneath like all of this work, I like to think that I'm sweet, you know, and that the work we do is sweet. Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, we need initiatives that have that sort of foundation of love at the core, or at least passion at the core, right? So in order to be in social innovation, I think you have to have that as a driving force.
Well, love that. Now, I had not heard that before, but I think that that's true. And I don't think I've had anyone on the show that said it quite that way. That was really good. That's going to be a nugget.
I've got more where that came from.
I was like, this is going to be, that's going to be one of the nuggets that we take away from this. So tell me about the moment when you got to meet the astronaut, because I was there. I mean, watching, of course, but I could tell, I mean, you did, it was a fabulous interview, but you know, it's like, what was the little girl inside of you thinking?
Oh, you know, first of all, you know, to take it a step back, I think it's always so exciting for me to, you know, confirm amazing speakers and guests, you know, in our ecosystem. Whenever I hear, you know, like Reverend Jesse Jackson, for instance, you know, folks that I've admired or I've come to admire through just them, you know, applying to speak, and then I learn about them and I read about them, and then I'm fangirling, right? And I'm just like, oh my God, these people want to, you know, be part of Wonder Woman Tech. Oh my gosh, like, do they know who they are? Right. So like, I get to have those moments regularly, which I feel, you know, one, it humbles me. It allows me to like remember, you know, what is sacred, you know, that at the end of the day, we're all human too. So as much as we fangirl, like these are also humans, and they do generally want to be a part of something good. They want to be a part of a bigger picture. And so what I've found is that a lot of these individuals are just beautiful human beings. And Dr. Ellen Ochoa is no exception to that. You know, she was super, you know, when we got on the phone, I was nervous because I'm like, you know, I'm always nervous. It doesn't matter how cool I look when I'm interviewing folks. I am most certainly nervous 5 minutes before. So just keep that in your mind. that Lisa Mae was nervous, even if I look like I'm super cool, calm, and collected. We got on the phone and she just was so warm and friendly. And this was before our actual interview. Mm-hmm. You know, we hopped on a call prior to just talk about, you know, what we were going to explore. And she was just, I was actually like, wow, she's just like me, just a regular old person, right? So, I got on the phone with my executive producer, Brianna, and I'm like, Brianna, oh my God, she's so nice. And she's like, I know, right? So, and isn't it funny, like when we think of, you know, the people that we admire or our idols or heroes, like we put them on this pedestal that sort of separates us from them. And what we don't realize is that we're very much connected and we're very much the same. And so that's really what I experience, you know, when I'm finally interviewing and having a conversation with her and others, you know, like her, other people I've admired, is that at the end of the day, they're human. And we get to have real conversations and I get to learn about their, you know, career trajectory and share that with, you know, our ecosystem. And it's just something just beautiful. I feel like that's one of the blessings in the work that I do, is that I get to bring that human element into the ecosystem and people can identify with these heroes, these astronauts, you know, that they've put on a pedestal and have separated from themselves, that they can find relatable nuggets and feel connected, and then hopefully be inspired to go out and be an astronaut too, or do, you know, the impossible, or step out into the unknown, because if they can do it, so can they, you know? So I'm really just humbled and blessed to even be in a position to talk to such awesome visionaries.
Well, I think so. Here's the thing. As I sit here and listen and think back about all that I know about you and Wonder Woman Tech and the work that you've done, I think that your past has prepared you to be in spaces just like this, talking to, someone who you admire and respect and are a fangirl of. But the way that you do it, it brings about that connection that you were talking about. Yeah. Because sometimes what we fail to do is we fail to humanize people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like you were saying about putting them on a pedestal. So if you're on a pedestal, it means like you're always perfect. You're never wrong. And that's, you know, it's one of those reasons why sometimes people we idolize. And when they have a fully human moment, we're so disappointed.
Oh yeah. And judgmental, mm-hmm. and quick to write them off, or quick to, you know, adopt a cancel culture, which is what unfortunately we've entered into right now, you know, a cancel culture, because simply for people being human, right?
Right. Right. And but I think that what you do, and again, I think you probably, and I don't know if you probably, well, you may have realized this, but I think your background has totally prepared you for it. It really has.
Yeah. You know, I think too, like I grew up with a whole family, right? I'm the oldest of five, you know, you take care of people, you just learn, and we were poor, I mean, super poor even. And you just learn to be innovative on the fly. You learn to survive. You don't have, there's not an opportunity really to build up any kind of, you know, superiority complex or, there's just not any of those kinds of challenges that, you know, personality challenges that would prevent you from being in these spaces. Cause if you don't have a warm personality, or if you're not humble, if you don't have authenticity, if you don't come from a genuine space, I know for a fact, you're not going to thrive in these environments. You're not even going to secure an interview with an astronaut. Right. So I think that is something, and thank you for bringing that to my attention, you know, something to reflect on that. You know, I come to this, my work, with authenticity and a level of vulnerability that I think is rare just in this space, especially in the D&I space. I'm super, super vulnerable. If you look at my social media channels, you will know I speak truth. I speak vulnerability. I don't really have, like, you know, whether it's taboo or not, I don't have a filter there, because I think it is very important to be authentic and real, especially when we are dealing with these kinds of topics such as, you know, diversity or inclusion or belonging, or even just, you know, simply, you know, making sure that we're getting, you know, women and people of color into spaces that we need to be in. You have to have a level of authenticity. You have to be genuine. You have to be, you know, even invested, right, in the work that you do, and it has to come across. And so I think my childhood, because I didn't know any other way, there were no filters. You just communicated from the heart space. I think that really has lent itself as an asset to this work.
Yeah, I can see it. I will tell you, so full disclosure for my audience, I put in a long time ago to be when you were doing the magic mentor sessions, and I was selected to do one, because everybody knows my background. We won't read it. And so I did it, and Lisa May was on the, she was a part of it. She came. I was surprised because I didn't think you were coming. I was pleasantly surprised, and I thought, oh, maybe she's going to do, and literally this is what I thought, oh, maybe she's going to do sort of like an introduction. Here's what the Magic Mentor sessions are about. Thank you for joining us. And then she's out. Y'all, she stayed for the whole thing. So I was like, okay, all right, let's see how this is going to go. But it was such a great meet, or at least for me, I can say from my perspective. At first there was, you know, because there were, I don't remember how many women, maybe 17, 20 women on the call. And some of them wouldn't turn on their cameras. And it was like, I was like, oh man, okay, I don't know what this is going to be, right? But then they started asking questions, and it wasn't a matter of having these prepared remarks. It was more like, okay, well, let's get to the brass tacks of the thing, right? What are the issues that you're facing here? You know, any questions you want to ask, how do you, and they were coming with it. Like, how do I handle this? And, you know, somebody's got that, and I'm answering them, of course, as best as I can. And so I'm thinking, okay, I don't, you know, because I think I'm harder on myself than anybody else. I think that's common, but yeah. That's me. So after we get off, Lisa May sends me an email. No, she sent me a text first, or in the chat. She was just like, I think you're amazing. You answer those questions like, you know, like a champ. And my mouth drops open, because at that point I was like, I think I failed at this, right? So to get that feedback from her, and then to get an email like the next day that basically said, you know, I need people like you at my conference, and she sent me the link. She's like, you need to put in for this, right? And so, and I had, at that point, I was just thinking, okay, because I was new. I mean, truth, and I don't know if you know this, but I was totally new to the idea of sort of being in the speaker space. And so that was among the first speaker things that I'd ever done.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yes. So I'm like, okay, I'm either going to be good at this, or I'm going to bomb. And I thought that was a bomb. So even though it was just, you know, I was like, well, I'm just doing what I know, and I'm answering questions from a spot that I can speak from. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if this is what you were looking for in terms of what these magic mentor sessions were supposed to be about. So to get that feedback, and it was so genuine and so enthusiastic and exciting, it really helped me solidify that I was in the right space. So I wanted to tell you that.
Aww. Well, that's so special. I had no idea. You know, first of all, I thought you killed it. You did a fantastic job. And I really, you know, one of the things I try to do is be involved where I can, you know, and not just bounce out and like introduce and leave. I attended all of the Mentor Magic sessions for that time period, you know, when the pandemic first hit. Mm-hmm. And then also even for the summit, you know, people were surprised because I went to the Amplify stage and I was watching some of the Amplify talks and they're like, why are you not at the main stage? And I'm like, I'm here, you know, to support the voices that we say that we're amplifying and I need to be there. And I was actually shocked at how many people were like, oh my God, Lisa May's in the room. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here to support. And so I realized that that goes a long way, you know, in just showing up, you know, and hearing your story just confirms that. I had no idea, by the way, that you were just starting out because you did such a fantastic job. And I genuinely meant that. I was like, I need you, like, you need to come present again. The girls loved you. And I enjoyed the session very much. And I think it's important, you know, to, when you say that, and this goes across anything, no matter what, when you say that you support someone, you know, then support them, show up at their events, show up at their, you know, accomplishments, give them a pep talk, attend their virtual, you know, workshop. If they're hosting a workshop, it doesn't even matter if it applies to you or not. If you have the extra time, show up. That vote of confidence sometimes is all that is needed for that person to level up in their own confidence, you know, and to do more. And also for yourself, you never know if you might gain something from them or just by attending. And, you know, that's something that I've noticed across, you know, it's going to be 7 years that I've been working, you know, building Wonder Woman Tech. And I'll have to say, you know, there's a lot of people that haven't shown up, you know, personal friends, personal network, or even just people I've connected with. And it's always been mind-boggling to me that, you know, that they wouldn't. But then those that do, I feel like I'm walking on the, you know, top of the moon, you know, with Dr. Ellen Ochoa, I'm walking on the moon because it's just knowing that you have people in your corner that allows you to do greater things. So, you know, that'll be another nugget I want to share is like, show up even if it doesn't pertain to you, if you've got the extra time, give your friend, give your colleague, give your, you know, network, someone in your network that you admire that vote of confidence.
I wrote this down. So I've been taking notes during this interview. I think I'm on page number 3 already. Now, this is going to be the longest show notes. For this podcast, just letting everybody know. I just wanted you to know that it meant so much to me as a new speaker. That feels like forever ago, does it? I mean, it feels like that was forever ago, even though it's only months ago.
I mean, it feels like years. Mm-hmm. I was sick too. You know, I was sick during that time.
I was gonna ask you if you had COVID during that time.
Yeah, I was really sick.
More amazing is that the whole thing.
I needed distractions too. Like I was stir crazy. I was sick. I was so excited to like be in your workshop and just like, you know, yeah. take my mind off of what I was going through.
Yeah, you would have never known. You would have never known it. But it just, you know, for me. Again, like I said, it solidified for me that I was in the right space and doing the work that I was supposed to be doing. And it's even funnier that I say that because I don't know that I doubted it. But, you know, you have those moments where you're just sort of like, you know, but I'm always one of those people who push forward and is like, I'm going to do this anyway. So I'm not one to give into the fear and let it rule me. But every now and then we have doubts. And so, you know, showing up for people, even if you don't know, you know, you're showing up for them. But that was just such a booster for me that made me say, okay, you can do this. And then, so what's next? And Aww. so And so what has, I mean, truthy. So what happened after that was, like, I felt like there was an avalanche of opportunities that kept coming to me after that. So I think that was among the first or second speaking gigs I'd had for this year. And I think I've at least spoken someplace every month since then. And
oh, wow.
Some months, multiple places. So
look at you.
I took your advice, ma'am.
That is so fantastic.
So, all right. So tell us first, the one last question that I always ask our guests is, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her and why?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd give her a great big ol' hug, like lots of big ol' hugs, like hug her so hard that's all she remembers. I look back at my childhood, and it's probably why I launched a hugs campaign later on in life, because I don't remember many hugs growing up. And when I talk to other students and when I've done my hugs campaign, most people don't. So the first thing I would do is give her a great big old hug, little May May. Then I'd comb her hair, because her hair was always a mess. My mom did not know how to comb my hair. So bless her heart, mom. But let's just face it. She did not know how to comb her mixed kids' hair. And then I'd really sit her down and I'd tell her, you know, first of all, other people's opinions really just do not matter. At the end of the day, they will keep coming. They will always come. They will never stop, ever. But they do not matter. You have to listen to your voice. You have to know who you are. And once you capture that essence of who you are, never, ever, 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 ever let it go. Never compromise that self for anyone, any company, anything, ever. Stay true to your north, because that is where you will truly, truly shine and find the most happiness. You have to drown out all the other voices. Yours is the only voice that matters.
Oof, wow. I'm trying to write as I'm listening. I'm like, never compromise yourself. Like I felt all of these, but that one right there has been the one lesson that I've felt like I've had to learn and relearn.
Oh yeah.
That.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, I'm speaking from, I mean, if I could tell myself yesterday, you know,
right.
You know, like it's one of the biggest lessons I've learned, you know, this year was it's a huge year, you know, it's a pivot year for most of us. Right. And it's a year where we all have to reimagine, you know, our work environments, our connections with others, our connections with family, our connections with ourselves. And, you know, one of the biggest things I realized this year was that I have compromised myself for others. I've compromised myself for companies. You know, I've let other people dictate what I do. And I realized that I was burned out, because mainly that was the number one reason. My burnout was attributed to, you know, drowning out my voice and listening to others and being concerned by what other people think and need and want. And I decided, you know, and I think getting sick too, also, like, you know, being, you know, where you're just like up against the wall and you have nothing else to lose. I think that really also helped me drive this point home that you cannot compromise yourself anymore, Lisa May. You can't be a martyr for the cause. You can't be a martyr for your, like, anything or anyone. You have to stay true to your north. And I know who I am. The thing is like underneath the voices, underneath the chaos, underneath the news, underneath social media, underneath the opinions of our family, friends, loved ones, network, we know who we are. Mm-hmm. If we take away all of those things. And we sit with ourselves and we take a moment. You know, that's what this isolation can do. That's what this, you know, this lockdown or whatever we're in, you know, shutdown can do for us. If we take a moment to utilize this as an opportunity to get to know ourselves, find out who you are and step into that space and follow your north, because you will lead yourself to where you need to be. I know it. You know, the rest of this year, that's what I decided to do. I decided to just focus on my north, go there. And it's leading me into a 2021 season with Wonder Woman Tech that I'm truly excited about. You know, it's taking me on a path that I feel is reconnected to my original vision, original purpose. You know, that little girl sitting underneath the stars, what she dreamed about, I'm going to dig deeper into in 2021, right? And now I'm already doing it. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's just so important to take this time as we are, you know, isolating, as we are, you know, spending more time alone or in smaller spaces, to get acquainted with yourself.
I love it. I love it. And please know that I wish you all the best and anytime. Yeah. I'll be showing up in spaces because I love Wonder Woman Tech and the message that that it puts out in the universe. So I'm there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, I mean I'm for it. So and I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today, and what I said was is that, you know, first off, we have to, like you were saying, we have to show up for each other and support. Because I'm not about competition, because I feel like there's enough room for us all.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like, not only are we not competition, but we really need to support each other. Like, you know, and then I said, can you imagine there are more women in the world or in the United States, I'll just start there, than there are men.
Yeah.
And if we would stop fighting with each other and stop, yes, and start supporting, we could take over.
I mean, that's what we're doing. We're applauding. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you're right. You're right. We can.
We can't tell everybody. We can't tell everybody.
Yeah.
You're not ready for it. So I just made it. That's my plan. And that's, you know, I'm everybody again about knowing your true north, know your place and where you fit into the world, and do that. Just do that. Bring your friends with you, support those, you know, who are working in the same space. Cause it only helps. It only.
Yeah. You know, collaboration is a huge, you know, focus and theme for me moving forward. And next year, our 2021 roadmap includes a lot of collaboration. You know, I feel like we need to be working together and not in silos. You know, this space, you know, the spaces that we're in, with regard to equity and inclusion and belonging and diversity, I do see a lot of silos. I see a lot of people trying to solve the great mystery on their own. And I'm just like, you know, we really need to be working together, because this is a systemic issue. It's a issue that we cannot, either of us, any of us, any organization, any initiative, stamp out alone. And so I'd like to see more collaboration. I'd like to see us standing for each other. I'd like to see more groups coming together instead of having this competitive mindset that they're the only ones with the eureka moment on how to solve these issues, right? Like, I'm the only one, and I'm the, you know, the only thought leader in this space. And that's just not true.
No, and it shouldn't be. And if you are, then that's a problem.
Yeah. You are actually part of the problem. And, you know, I'm going to go so bold as to say, and this is actually part of my work in the coming year. I'm going to start calling this industry out, to be very honest. I think it needs to be. I think in order for us to really see this true paradigm shift, we need to point out what's not working. And that also includes the solution makers, you know, those that are out there thinking that they have all the answers and they don't. We're still here. The numbers are not changing much, folks. Right. And so you know, why is that? And there are a number of reasons why, you know, that's another conversation. That's another podcast episode. Right. But what it does provide us is an opportunity to work together, to collaborate, and to show up for each other.
Love it. Love it. So tell my audience, if they are looking for Wonder Woman Tech, if they are looking for Lisa Mae Brunson, where can they find you?
Well, you know, we are on your favorite social media channels, except TikTok. That's just like too much. That's too much to try to master. I need a whole department just to work on a TikTok.
I promise you.
But you can find us on Twitter at Wonder Women Tech, or you can give a shout out to me at Miss Lisa Mae. That's Mae with an M-A-E, Miss Lisa Mae. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, of course, at Wonder Women Tech. And we're also on LinkedIn. You know, we love our LinkedIn community. We're pretty active on there as well underneath Wonder Women Tech. And remember, that's Wonder Women with an E, not Wonder Woman, because, you know, there's only one Wonder Woman on the planet.
Right.
But Wonder Women Tech, we are doing some fantastic things next year. We are launching a new theme called We Are Generations. And I'm so excited because we're, you know, one of the things I felt was so important, especially through this pandemic, was understanding the role of our ancestors and, you know, who we are in present day and our future generations and how we are coming together to really build this new paradigm, to build spaces of equity, to, you know, how we've got to where we are and where we get to be. We have a new theme that we'll be exploring. You heard it right here. Mm-hmm. Haven't even announced it yet. You know, it's something that I feel is going to be a very powerful year as we move into a post-COVID era and into a space where we are innovating economic and the business industries.
Mm. Wow. That I need to sit with that for a minute. That's super good.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, guys. So Lisa Mae, I really want to thank you for just your time today and for agreeing to be on the show and just for just spilling all the tea with me.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. And I am looking forward to 2021. And being a part of Wonder Women Tech. And I can't even wait. So please note that I'm in.
Yes. Got you. Putting you down.
Thank you.
Putting you down.
That's whatever you need. I'm here. Okay, guys. So you guys know where to reach her and you guys know where to reach me. So, as always, I end the show wishing you guys well and always until we meet again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Stemming in Stilettos. Please check out the show notes to get additional information about today's guest or today's topic. You can find the podcast on every major podcast platform. You can find additional information about Dr. Tasha at www.drtasha.com. Thanks again, and don't forget to tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of Stemming in Stilettos.